This is a week catch up for it, because we're going to lay Sukkos Bullock, and they're going to read Bullock only. There's a lot of material we're going to learn laying this week. Now let's do a quick overview, because there's no way we're going to get to everything. We start with those Sukkos HaTorah, which were given the halachos of the red cow, the red heifer. And we know that that was critical in taking people out of the condition of being tameh, ritually impure, from a deceased or the part of a deceased body. The next thing we're told, still in the first plane this Shabbos, is that Miriam died. The well of Miriam, which was the water source for the Jewish people, dried up. She became very afraid, and they complained against Moshe and Aaron that they were going to all die of thirst. The second is the story of Moshe hitting the rock and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that Moshe and Aaron are now forbidden to go to Eretz Yisrael. We're then told that Edom, the descendants of Moshe, of Esav, would not let the Jewish people travel through their land or anything. Okay. In the third Aliyah, Elazar succeeds his father as a Kohen. It says they Jewish people encountered, they call him the Southern Knanim, which is 13 miles west of the Dead Sea, and there was a war, they were beaten. It's that after Aaron was Nifter, the Anone HaKovei, which were given to the Jewish people in Aaron's merit, started, and the people became uncomfortable and complained about their living condition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the poisonous snakes to attack the people who were complaining. And Moshe was told to create a copper snake, right? And somehow this snake would be a vehicle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would heal the Jewish people. It says the people then traveled north of the Dead Sea to a place called Yishimon. The end of Sukkos. The nation was again refused by Sihon and Og to cross their land. And Moshe had to go to war. And he beat both of these giants. And then we start Parshas Bullock. Bullock sees what happened, how these giants were defeated. He becomes scared. And he decides he's going to hire Bilam, right, to curse the Jewish people, because Bilam was well known to be a curser for pay. Right? Bilam sees the first people, the first group that comes, and he's not given permission by to go and he leaves. Bullock sends bigger people a second time, right? And, right, Bilam decides he's going no matter what. So God says, okay, you want to walk to demise, go ahead. The way you want to go. Along the way, in the second incident, the second time, Bilam's going, and lo and behold, his donkey will fight with him. He hits the donkey numerous times, and the donkey says, "What you doing?" And a wild story. Bilam finally gets to Bullock. He makes two attempts to curse the Jewish people with shale. In Shvi, Bilam tries a third time, and he fails again. Each time, whatever he says is a blessing. He leaves in disgrace, but okay. And Bilam actually predicts that at the end of time, there's going to be nobody standing but the Jewish people. But he takes his parting shot, and he tells Bullock, turn your women into whores, try to seduce the Jewish people to do idol worship, and we have that problem. We end up with Cosby, right? The situation where a Jewish prince takes a princess and in the middle of the camp has relations with her, and Pinchas takes him out. And that's where our parsha ends. So we cover a lot of ground. The other thing in this parsha is we moved from Korach last in the second year, and all of a sudden, okay, we are now in year 40. What happened in between? And we're told nothing. There were no problems. In the 38-year delay in the desert, you basically had the people following whatever they were told to do by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because the Torah is not a storybook, there are no incidents. And so we make this jump, so to speak, in history, because this is the next time the Torah has relevant information for us. So, going back, we said that the first concept we deal with is the Korah Duma, whose ashes purify some, who's ritually impure from contact with a human corpse. And again, Rabbi Rosner says, let's again note that 38 years have passed. Miriam and Aaron died in the 40th year. And, right? You want to know where they stopped. In Maaseh, we will have a list of each stop along the way. But he says, this notion of the Korah Duma, why is it here? We know that Vayikra is called Torah Kehanim. The book of Vayikra is where we generally had the concepts and the rules of Korbanot. And he says, Rav Yosef Soloveitchik there's an insight as to why we have this here. But he says, before we look at that, Rabbi Rosner says, there's an additional question. The Torah says, Zoyt Chukas HaTorah. This is the height which we would say is an unexplained law of the Torah, one which, and this is the one that King Shlomo says nobody alive will ever understand. But the question is often, this is not the Chok HaTorah, this is the Chok of the Pora Duma. Why is that called the Torah? He says, we propose that the regular chukah here is not mere performance of the ritual of the Poraduma, but the mind-defying mystery of death itself, whose defiling effects somehow the ashes of the Poraduma with hyssop and water dissipate. He said, we live in a world that generally takes the approach, if I can't explain it, it cannot be. Right? We understand space travel. We understand the satellites. And we understand things that the previous generations couldn't comprehend at all. And yet, the consistency is that no individual, except for those who went to Gan Eden alive, has ever escaped. Doesn't matter how modern, doesn't matter how healthy, how strong, how brilliant, there's a time limit. And Rabbi Rosner writes, maybe in the name of a fellow nature, that this indescribable, unexplained, integral part of the human condition, right, exists. And we can't really describe it. Nobody ever came back to tell us what's involved in it. So he says the ultimate height in our lives is the fact that an end. He says, when the Torah says, those chukah the Torah, it's not referring to the Pora Duma, but it's talking about the concept of death. And then, right, he says, we even see that because in Pasuk 14 it says, "Zayis chukat atayra adam kiyamus." This is the Torah. This is what happened when an individual passes. How do we somehow purify ourselves from someone who's no longer living? Most times, we hit a sheret, a creepy crawler, maybe we go to the mikveh. But here, the mikveh is not enough. God has said, take this Torah Duma's ashes and go through this procedure. You've got to sprinkle the individual on the third and seventh day. The Soloveitchik says, one of us going to a mikveh is a human experience. That's something we can do. Right? I touch a sheriff, whatever it is, a rat, maybe a dead rat, right? I gotta go to the mikveh. But I do it. Moreover, he says, it's an individual act. sorry, that I must do. He says, I can't have a chef go to the mikveh for me. The water on someone else will not purify me. He said, God forbid somebody has a phobia of water, of going in over his head. He said, but there is something else. All of a sudden, we've got to be sprinkled by something external. I don't go to the mikveh, right? The kohen sprinkles me, right? The kohen couldn't go to the mikveh for me, but the kohen has to take the ashes of the parah to sprinkle me. He says, this drives home the notion, concept, that when it comes to leaving the world, death, man has no control thereof. Somehow, when we encounter someone else's mortality, dead body, we need to be purified. The Kohen is the messenger, but we obviously realize that it's not the water and it's not the ashes. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who says that this item will create the condition of holiness, purity. He says, Torah Duma drives home the notion that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is always in charge. He said, I'm now going to try to explain why the Torah put these laws right here between the story of Korach, right, and the end of 38 years. He says, in the 38 intervening years, the Jewish people were really preoccupied with dying. He said, they knew there was an edict that 600,000 people were going to die, right? Everyone on Tisha B'Av, because of what happened with the spies. There would be, he says, more mourners, more widows, more orphans every year. And he says, when you have that as a fait accompli, how does a nation continue? A 38-year death march? He says, the answer lies with the Torah Duma. The Torah Duma, when people realize what it was, realize that whatever's happening is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. The Rabbona Shel Olam is in charge. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will comfort and he will purify. There is a divine plan. We are not just little ants running around a circle. When we say to a mourner, HaMokam Yenachem, that's them, right? We're saying it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who takes this responsibility on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the responsibility to assist, remove the melancholy when we lose a loved one, right? And a Kadosh Baruch who gives us the strength to move on.
Okay.
I'm going to stop here for now, and we will pick up tomorrow with some other aspects of the Parsha. Have a lovely day, and thank you for your time. Kol Tov.